And let's turn in our scriptures this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Today we come to Ephesians 6, verse 18, which teaches us to give our all in prayer. Many of you are familiar with the words of Isaiah 42, where Isaiah writes this, "A bruised reed he will not break." Isaiah gives us two vivid images here of weakness. A bruised reed, which is something that is fragile, bent, almost broken. And a faintly burning wick is a candle that is about to go out. It's just barely flickering. It's just a moment away from completely burning out. It's two images of something that is just holding on for life, struggling mightily, discouraged, weak, wounded. I think this is how many Christians feel about prayer. When you talk to Christians about prayer life, you hear words like weak, discouraged, struggling, barely hanging on. Actually, in all my conversations with Christians about prayer, I have never, ever heard a Christian say that they feel like they are praying enough. I always hear the opposite. I really should pray more. I need to pray more. I need to give more time to prayer. I'm not consistent in prayer. Today, our passage encourages prayer. My hope this morning is not to shame you, not to shame you for a lack of prayer, but to encourage you and to equip you to move forward in your Christian life, a life of prayer. In Isaiah tells us the truth that God is not in the business of snapping his people who are weak. He's not in the business of quenching that flame that is just barely burning. He's gentle. He's comforting. He's strengthening the weak. He's bringing you along. He's encouraging you day by day. And may we all increase and grow in prayer. So let's read together just one verse, Ephesians 6, 18. The word tells us, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Amen. May God add his blessing to his word. Let's pray together. O Lord, open our hearts now to receive your word and your truth, Lord. May your Holy Spirit pierce and penetrate each and every heart, Lord. Father, we know that you are sovereign. And we know that every person who is here today came because you drew them in, Lord. And you have a purpose for each one of us to hear your word. And so by your Spirit, Lord, speak to each one of us. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, from the years 1644 to 1679, an English Puritan named William Gurnall pastored a church in a small town north of London. For 35 years, he pastored one church. At the time, there was significant turmoil. There was an English Civil War. There was great national religious strife. Even during this time, there was the beheading of King Charles I. So William Gurnall had a difficult ministry. There was all sorts of ups and downs. This led him to study Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and in particular, Ephesians 6, the armor of God. Through his study of Ephesians, Gurnall produced a volume called The Christian in Complete Armor. I encourage you to get that book, The Christian in Complete Armor. Most of what you will hear today is coming directly from William Gurnall because the teaching he has on the armor of God, in particular prayer, is the best that's in existence. It's written 400 years ago almost, but is the best teaching we can find on the armor of God and prayer, the prayer life of the Christian. So all credit given to this English pastor, William Gurnall, this morning. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, we're learning about the true nature of the Christian life. It is not a cakewalk. The Christian life is not easy. It's a fight. We've learned it's a fight. It's a war. There's an enemy in this war. Our enemy is real. It's Satan, the evil one. And we've learned that Satan is constantly scheming against us. He's prowling around, seeking to deceive, seeking to destroy. Last week, we were reminded that we are not inequipped in this fight. God has given us the armor. He tells us to take up the whole armor of God in order to stand against the evil one. And then today, we see along with that armor comes prayer. Now, prayer is not another piece of the armor. Prayer, we could say, is the manner or the atmosphere that we are putting on our armor and wearing our armor. One author says that prayer is even the breath of the armor. You think of it this way. Every one of us knows what it's like to be out of breath. Maybe it's from walking up a couple flights of stairs. Maybe it's from running, from some sort of exercise. You can't catch your breath. You've got to sit down. You've got to rest. Sit out for a few minutes. Prayer is the breath of the soldier of Christ. You can't go into battle without breath. You can't survive a battle if you aren't able to breathe. Without breath, you're sitting on the sidelines. You have to watch. You're observing the battle. You may even have the armor on. But if you have the full armor on and you can't breathe, what good is the armor? Without prayer, you can't get into the fight. You can't survive the fight. And when you get into the fight, you will flame out in just a moment because you don't have the breath to continue going. The armor is our, or the prayer is our breath that accompanies the armor. So we'll see this morning 4 points Paul gives us. He uses the word all 4 different times, teaching us how we are to pray. So we'll dig into each one of these this morning. First, Paul instructs us to pray at all times. A World War II chaplain famously said this: "There are no atheists in foxholes." Meaning, when you are in the heat of battle, when you are being fired at, when you're fearing for your life, at that moment, everyone cries out to God. Doesn't matter what your belief is. When you're fearing for your life, God, help me, protect me, deliver me, save me. Many have made promises to God in foxholes, right? I'll turn my life around if you will just get me out of those moments in life. You started praying because you didn't have anywhere. You must deliver me from this situation. Here's the reality for the Christian, what we've been learning. For the Christian, life is lived in the foxhole. We learned last week, Satan is firing his fiercest darts at us at all times. His fierce darts of temptation, accusation, seduction. It's happening every single day. So if we're always in the foxhole, we must always be in prayer, right? Calling out to the Lord. This is what Paul says. We are praying at all times. And what does it actually mean? What does it look like in your daily life to be in prayer at all times? How do you do this? Is Paul saying that you quit your job and you quit school and you just stay home and get on your knees and pray all day, every single day? I don't think so. I think back when my wife and I first started dating and talking, we would talk on the phone almost every night for 2, 3, 4, even more hours. We were talking so much that the rest of my life, I couldn't just lay down my other responsibilities, so I would talk to her as I was cooking dinner and as I was cleaning up, as I was walking the dog, as I was watching the game on TV. Everything I was doing, we were talking because we just love to talk. I wanted to get to know her. She wanted to get to know me. I loved hearing her voice, talking about the day, asking questions, and on and on. I think that's what it means to be in prayer at all times. Speaking with the Lord no matter what you're doing, driving to work, while you're at work. It's a fellowship, a closeness, a communion, a relationship where you're speaking with the Lord at all times, whatever you're doing. You love the Lord, right? And so whatever is happening, you're telling him about it. seeking his wisdom, seeking his guidance, telling the Lord how wonderful he is, thanking him for his blessings. It's prayer at all times, praying at work, praying with the family, praying alone, praying in church. Now, there's a great hymn that we sing sometimes. It opens with this line, "In sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thine own to keep me near thy side." That's the picture. Wherever you are in life, the Lord is holding your hand off of Psalm 73. Listen to what Psalm 73 says in verse 23. The psalmist writes, "I am continually with you, Lord. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory." Holding the right hand of the Lord. Praying at all times, it means praying in the big moments. It means praying in the little moments, the moments of mundane daily life and the life-altering moments. I wonder, Christian, do you routinely go days or even weeks at a time without speaking to the Lord? Think about those in your life that you truly love. Would you go an entire day without speaking to your spouse? Would you go an entire day or week without speaking to your children? Of course not. Then how can we say that we love the Lord and yet go days and sometimes longer without speaking to him? So notice Paul says prayers to be in the Spirit, or pray at all times in the Spirit. How are you to pray at all times? It's only possible if you are praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit means in the power of the Spirit or with the help of the Spirit. William Gurnall in his work writes, "Without the Spirit, the human soul is cold and dead, lifeless like a lump of cold clay. Zero desire for prayer. But with the Spirit, the clay is stretched, molded, and shaped. Life is breathed into the clay such that the clay cries out to God. Without the Spirit, there will be no sincere prayer." Gurnall writes again, "Praying in the Spirit is not saying a prayer, it's laying hold of God in prayer. It's not just speaking recited prayers. Spirit-filled praying is passionate, zealous, earnest, fervent prayer. It must come from the heart. It comes through the Spirit." Now, we have to remember what Paul has taught us about the Spirit so far in Ephesians. Remember Ephesians 1, verse 13, a foundational truth. Paul says, "When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Meaning, if you have come to Christ in faith and believed on him for salvation, the Spirit has come to live within you. You are sealed with the Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee, the down payment of your salvation. And all who have received the Spirit will never lose the Spirit. The Spirit is always with you. And then Paul told us in Ephesians 5, he taught us verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. You're called to be filled to a fullness. Paul teaches us in Colossians 3 in the parallel passage, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Meaning as you abide in the word of God, as you meditate and study, as you're filled with the word of God, as you feed on Christ daily, then you are filled with the Spirit, and then the Spirit is able to help you pray. Praying in the Spirit comes from abiding in the word of God and the Spirit filling you to a fullness. Romans 8, Paul writes this about the Spirit. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit guides us, helps us every day in prayer. That's praying in the Spirit. So think about your prayer life, Christian. Are you someone who prays very little? What do you do? How do you change this? How do you begin to pray more in the Spirit? Well, it first begins with crying out to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. And spent concerted time and effort in prayer. Holy Spirit, help me. Give me a desire Quicken my heart to pray, Lord. Help me, Spirit. Maybe you're someone here today and you think, not only do I have a weak prayer life, I've never really prayed. I've never really called out to God. I've never really submitted my life, my heart to the Lord. Well, then what do you do? Scripture tells us, seek the Lord. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Lord is near to you today. Call upon him now, maybe for the first time ever. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me and I will give you rest. John 6:37, Jesus says, the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. Pray today, maybe even for the first time. God will hear you and he will welcome you. Second, we are to pray with all kinds of prayer. Paul says in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication. Now, all prayer and supplication speaks of varied prayers, a variance in our prayers. Now, think for a moment about babies. When infants are born, they don't come into the world immediately conversing with their parents, do they? They don't come out of the womb able to hold a conversation. There is no child that has popped out of the womb and said, hey, mom, hey, dad, how to ask for their needs. When they're hungry, what do? They cry or whine. Thirsty, cry, whine. Diapers full, same thing. They only know how to ask for what they need at that moment. But what happens as they mature into toddlers and children and teenagers and adults? They learn how to speak, how to ask questions, how to hold a conversation. It's a more mature way of speaking, right? At least that's the goal. Christian, that's a picture of your prayer life. You progress and mature in your prayer life, where when you were young in prayer, really the only prayers you knew how to pray were requests to the Lord. Lord, help me with this, help me with that. Just seeking needs to be met. But as you grow and mature in Christ, the prayers begin to confess your sins to the Lord. Sanctified prayer is to be more diverse. Think, for example, of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a very diverse prayer. It's not just requests and petitions. It's not just, God, will you give me this? Jesus said, pray then like this, hallowed be thy name. That's a prayer of adoration, a prayer of praise. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. That's a prayer of petition, a request. Lord, forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. That's a prayer for strength, a prayer for perseverance. With all prayer and supplication, Paul says, all kinds of prayer. All prayer and supplication also speaks of prayer in all circumstances. Prayer in the good times, prayer in the bad times, prayer in adversity, prayer in prosperity, urgent pleading with God on your knees, quiet communion with God in peace, spontaneous prayer and planned prayer, prayer in worship, public prayer, and private prayer. No part of life is to be untouched by prayer. Now, William Gurnall helpfully writes out three forms of prayer that can guide you in your prayer life. He speaks of, first, precatory prayer, which precatory prayer is seeking an increase of good from God. You ever pray like that? Lord, increase my perseverance. Increase my holiness. Increase my joy. Increase my prayer life. Increase my desire for worship. Seeking an increase of good from God. And then he talks about deprecatory prayer. Deprecatory prayer is seeking a decrease of evil in your life. Lord, help me to turn away from sin. Help me to fight against temptation. Help me to fight against worldliness and greediness and the sin that is within me. And then he talks about imprecatory prayer, which is praying for God's righteous judgment upon the wicked and the evil in the world. One great way to vary your prayers is to study the prayers of Scripture. Meditate upon the prayers of Scripture. Study the Psalms. Study Christ's prayers, his high priestly prayer, his prayer in the garden, the Lord's prayer. Read great prayers. Read prayers by Matthew Henry, A Way to Pray, or A Method for Prayer. Pray with other Christians. Learn from other Christians. We are called to all kinds of prayer. And then third, we are to keep alert with all perseverance. Verse 18, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Now this phrase, to keep alert, in the Greek language, is a phrase that really speaks of staying up, staying awake. It's a phrase that was used to speak of insomnia, staying awake all night. This word, keep alert, was used for shepherds who would stay up all night because they had the responsibility of watching their sheep and caring for their sheep. If they fell asleep in the night, then their sheep then could potentially be harmed by wolves who would come in and steal them away. So the instruction for the Christian is the same. You are to always stay awake, stay alert in prayer. Imagine being on a battlefield. You're wearing your armor. The enemy is lurking nearby. And on that battlefield, you decide to lay down and take a nap. That's what you do, Christian, when you fail to stay alert in prayer. You fall asleep on the battlefield. Enemies surrounding you, and you lay down and take a nap. Imagine that. No one would do that in real life, but we do that spiritually all the time. We fail to stay alert in prayer. Now, the most famous account of this in Scripture is Jesus and the disciples in the garden. Remember, Jesus was praying the night before he went to the cross. He's agonizing. He's crying out to the Lord in prayer just hours before going to the cross. And remember, he left his disciples nearby to watch and pray. And what did they do? They fell asleep. Matthew 26:40, Jesus came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour?" Just 1 hour? But why do we need to keep alert in prayer? Why is this so important? Listen to the rest of Christ's words there in the garden. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You hear this? Why must we stay alert in prayer? Because prayer is your aid in the fight against sin and evil and temptation. In prayer, God is pouring out his grace and his strength. Hebrews 4 tells us, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When you call out to the Lord in your time of need, he provides, he supplies the grace and the mercy that you need to withstand the temptations and the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Remember, in the garden, Christ returned two more times and found the disciples were sleeping each time. 3 times they fell asleep. So let that be a lesson to you, Christian. Let that be a lesson to us. Even the night before his crucifixion, after celebrating the Passover meal with Christ, they can keep alert. How much more, Christian, do you and I today need to be on guard and alert in our prayers? To keep alert with all perseverance. Now, perseverance is a continuation. It's a constancy. It's a dogged persistence and pursuit. We are to keep awake in prayer. That's the command. But we aren't just to keep awake for one night or a week or a month. No, by the Spirit's help, we persevere year after year after year in prayer. That's the call of the Christian life. You know, we've been learning about Satan's schemes. Satan especially hates prayer. He schemes hard against prayer. He really hates persevering prayer. If Satan's highest goal is to keep you from all prayer. He loves it when you don't pray. His great desire is for you to be too busy for prayer, to keep your mind engaged in worldly pursuits so that you don't even think to pray. But if you do pray, Satan's then, his next desire is to interrupt your prayer. You ever had that happen? Interrupt your prayer with distraction, severe in prayer. And then if you do persevere in prayer, Satan's desire is for you to pray for frivolous things, for you to pray for things that are trivial and worldly. One of my heroes in the faith is a man named George Mueller. George Mueller ministered in 19th century England. He built a series of orphanage homes in Bristol, England, where thousands of orphan children were able to come and live, to receive food and drink daily, to be cared for spiritually. Many of those children came to faith in Christ. Throughout his ministry of several decades, Mueller never asked a single person for even $1. He raised all of his funding by just getting on his knees and praying day after day after day. George Mueller became a Christian in his early 20s, and he had a group of five friends that before he came to Christ, he caroused with, he said, and lived a sinful life before he knew Christ. After he came to faith, he began praying for those five friends. After 5 years, his first friend came to faith in Christ. He writes, after 10 years of prayer, his second and third friends came to Christ. After 25 years of persevering prayer, the fourth friend was born again. Mueller prayed for 50 years for that fifth friend. After Mueller's death, the fifth friend was born again to new life in Christ. Christian, persevere in prayer. Finally, fourth, we see that prayer is to be made for all the saints. Now remember how the book of Ephesians opened. Ephesians 1 opens with the greeting to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Saint is not a title reserved for some extraordinary Christian. No, saints are just those who believe in Christ and have faith in Christ. That's how Paul refers to ordinary Christians, saints, set apart ones, holy ones, those who belong to Christ by faith. And so prayer is to be made for all the saints, Paul says, for all Christians. Now this shows us truly the wisdom and the beauty of the church. And when you come to Christ, when you receive Christ, Christ would be enough for us, yes. But God gives an abundance. He gives even more. He gives you a new family. He gives you a body of Christ. He gives you a community of faith. He gives you the saints that you are able to be a part of. He gives you a spiritual family, the body of Christ. And remember, Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 19, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Members one of another. Ephesians 2, 22, "In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." In the church, we are being built up, joined together. Paul says in Ephesians 4, "Be eager to maintain this unity, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." How are you to be joined more closely together and unified in the body of Christ? We pray for each other. We pray for all the saints. We lift one another up constantly in prayer. I have a 93-year-old prayer mentor, a retired pastor, Pastor Dave, who many of you have met. I get to pray with Pastor Dave every week. And I have arrived because I have made his list. His prayer list is a list of day. Praying for all the saints. His prayers have helped sustain me and many others. But prayer for all the saints, it's not just limited to your family. It's not just limited to our church body. It's an instruction to pray for Christians all over. Pray for Christians throughout our city, throughout our state, our nation, throughout our denomination, the PCA. We have the privilege of praying for our missionaries who are ministering in Belize and Peru and Egypt and Taiwan. Pray for persecuted, oppressed Christians. Saints who are suffering just because they named the name of Christ. You know, one of the great privileges I have of being your pastor is hearing you pray for me and my family often. It is such a tremendous blessing and encouragement. There is not a week that goes by that I don't receive some form of communication, a card, a text, an email, a phone call that says, "Pastor, I'm lifting you up in prayer." That is such a blessing of the body of Christ. To be a part of a family of God. God designed this community for us to strengthen each other when we persevere and pray for all the saints. You know, if you read through Paul's letters, throughout all of his letters, you see that he often tells the churches, "I am praying for you." And he tells them how he is praying for them. I think he's giving us a great example. Let people know that you're praying for them. Not to brag or boast or puff yourself up, but to bless them and encourage them. It is such a wonderful encouragement to know that you are being prayed for. Now, William Gurnall, again, he has a practical instruction as you're praying for the saints. He says, "When praying for the saints, prefer spiritual blessings before the temporal." Meaning, when you pray for the saints, pray first for God's peace, for God's grace, for His presence. Pray for sanctification in the saints of God. Pray for these things prior to when you pray for what is earthly. Well, how do we apply this passage this morning? A few applications for us to leave with today. First, this is a call to repent of prayerlessness. Paul is not here suggesting prayer in the life of the Christian. He's giving an imperative command. Prayer is to be central in the life of every believer. Remember when Jesus taught the disciples, he did not say, "If you pray, pray this way." He said, "When you pray, pray this way." So Christian, your calling is to pray. You must be daily in prayer. If you're someone who says, I haven't been frequent in prayer, I've neglected prayer, this is a call to repent, to turn away from that, over a new leaf, walk in a new way today. Second, make a plan for prayer. If I were to look at each one of your calendars, I would probably see many plans coming up in the next several months. Doctor's appointments, dentist visits, vacations, lunches, meals, and so on. You schedule out your life. Do you schedule time with the Lord? I encourage you, we have time scheduled with the Lord to pray Wednesdays at 6:30. Come and pray with the saints. We have a joyful time of prayer. You don't have to pray out loud. If that's something that you don't like to do, you can just nod and pray along silently and add your amen. Make a plan to pray, Christian. Third, set your mind on what is eternal. Notes this, and I think this is so insightful. He says, how can we daily fill our minds with the trivial and temporal all day and expect then to move seamlessly to the eternal? He says, we can't. Why is it such a struggle sometimes to pray, to set your heart on the Lord, to grab hold of God in prayer? Because all day you have been grabbing hold of the world. You have been basking in what is temporary. He says you cannot expect to shift your appetite towards heaven in just a moment. To give your all in prayer, you must set your heart all the time on things above. And then finally, keep your eyes on Christ. Christian, the call here is not to dwell on your prayer life. It's not to have an inward focus. The call is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. Meditate on Him. You're not trusting in your own faithfulness in prayer or your own ability to pray. You're trusting in your mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. And what is Christ doing right now? He's praying. He is praying for each one of you, his sheep. He is interceding for you. He ever lives, Scripture says, to intercede for you. So, Christian, keep your eyes not on yourself, but on Christ, who will sustain you until the very end. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this encouragement. You know our hearts, Father, that we have lacked prayer. We have been lacking, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to turn, to repent, to walk in a new way, Lord, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. And may you bless us as we pray. In Christ's name, amen.